This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Live from the Summit.News headquarters, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
Welcome back. We are entering the fourth hour of the show. We're going to talk about the push to mandate vaccines, not via government law, but via services and companies demanding people take the vaccine before they're allowed to travel, enter bars, enter restaurants, enter sports stadiums. The push is on. Now, to be fair, some airlines have said they've come out and said they're not going to force that for travel within Europe. But long-haul airliners are signaling that you're going to have your digital certificate, your proof of vaccination, simply to be allowed not just to fly, but in other cases, merely to enter different venues, even suggesting maybe even taxis and trains. You won't even be able to use those unless you've submitted to the shop. So this is a far bigger agenda than just the shot, than just the economic aspects, which we talked about before the break. Because, of course, we have the Great Reset. Now, I talked with Candice about how fact checkers work to relegate important and true statements and articles by slapping hoaxes, by slapping fact check warnings of them. And, of course, that relegates the content within the algorithms of social media corporations. So we have that taking place. We also have this, and this is an article that I flash back to again and again and again, because it relates to that fact-checking process. The New York Times last week and other organizations came out once again, and they're doing this on a daily basis and telling people that the Great Reset is just a conspiracy theory. Either it doesn't exist or it does exist and it's a good thing. It's just if you say it's a bad thing, then suddenly it does exist, doesn't exist. Because we had Prime Minister Justin Trudeau come out back in September and tell the world that the coronavirus pandemic was an excuse for a, quote, reset. Reporters literally asked him about that when it reemerged a couple of months later. Justin Trudeau lied, and what did he call it? He called it a conspiracy theory, even though those very words came out of his mouth. We have Klaus Schwab writing a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset, literally saying that this goes way beyond medical martial law, this goes way beyond a vaccine, this goes to implantable microchips, something that we've been talking about for the past 20 years plus. And a quote from his book says, quote, as capabilities in this area improve, you have to imagine him saying this in a Dr. Strangelove style voice, the temptation for law enforcement agencies and courts to use techniques to determine the likelihood of criminal activity, assess guilt, or even possibly retrieve memories directly from people's brains will increase. What is that? It's literally a Minority Report style pre-crime program. He says people will need potentially brain scans to cross borders, and he also makes it clear that implantable microchips will be the cornerstone of a transhumanist agenda that will merge man with machine. Today's external devices, from wearable computers to virtual reality headsets, will almost become implantable in our bodies and brains. So they want the implantable microchip as a result of this COVID hysteria. They also want you to eat weeds. Now, we've seen over the course of the past 2 years, even more perhaps, this push for people in the name of preventing global warming and man-made climate change to eat bugs because they're such a great source of protein, and you're probably racist if you think that's disgusting. Well, now headline out of moonbattery.com, let them eat weeds. Our globalist moon bat overlords not only want us to eat insects, they also want us to eat weeds. This is from our friends at the World Economic Forum, who, by the way, have blocked me on Twitter, who blocked a bunch of other people who question their agenda, because they're totally above board with it. It says, finding a new plant-based food is becoming increasingly urgent, with the world population due to grow by 2 billion in the next 30 years. It says that, you know, bugs will be one aspect of that, but the other solution will be to eat weeds, because they're easy to grow, contain nutrients, our diet needs diversity, and they say weeds taste great. So you're going to have a side salad serving of weeds with your crickets, with your bugs. We've got that to look forward to under our new globalist overlords.
Back in 1996, the head of the World Food Program said that they would use food and global lockdowns due to a virus scare to bring in world government. That also came out in the North American Union documents that Judicial Watch and Lou Dobbs got more than 15 years ago as well. So we know their plan. And if they're able to keep this lockdown going, it's going to cause not just a worldwide depression, but mass starvation of hundreds of millions. Millions have already starved to death, not from COVID, but from the lockdown. That's why it's important for people in North America to get prepared, hell, all over the world. But we have high-quality, affordable food ready to ship to you the last 25 years at preparewithalex.com. There's an additional 10% off. A very rare sale is going right now, preparewithalex.com. Also, at InfoWars.com, we have all the great supplements that boost your immune system and so much more with free shipping as well, up to 60% off. So take advantage of that at InfoWarsStore.com and preparewithalex.com. God bless.
Broadcasting internationally from the Summit.News headquarters in the United Kingdom, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
We're live, and we're talking about our future diet, which apparently not only includes bugs, but thanks to our globalist overlords at the World Economic Forum, will soon include weeds. Now, of course, they're not going to be eating weeds, they're not going to be eating bugs. But they're going to expect you to do so because, again, this is all tied into the economic agenda, which is a lowering of living standards. We already have laws being introduced in the United Kingdom that will completely ban the sale of all petrol vehicles within 10 years. We have these massive programs of carbon reduction, zero carbon, which can only come with a massive decrease in your quality, your standard of living. That's been proven. It's been proven that the green economy doesn't even work in places like Spain, where they tried to introduce it in a major way. It led to 50% youth unemployment and 25% overall unemployment. So these ideas are completely harebrained. They don't work in reality. The elite won't be subject themselves to any of these things, but you, the pleb, the commoner, will be expected not only to limit your travel, your consumption, your quality of life, but you'll also be expected to change your diet. And yes, the World Economic Forum, the same group behind the Great Reset, which they're bragging about as such a great thing, but then if you question them about it on social media, they'll literally block you. That's quite the thing, isn't it? You don't normally get either government officials, government bodies, or globalist bodies deliberately going on Twitter and blocking individuals who criticize their agenda. Kind of suggests to me that their agenda isn't really going to be that great for the little man. Not going to be really that great. And that's been born, that's been born to fruition, what we've already experienced economically with the pandemic, with the lockdown, as I mentioned before the break, massive, monumental profits for Amazon, for all the CEOs, small businesses going bust, and yet the very people supporting those lockdown policies which led to that economic situation are now saying, give us more power, we'll redistribute the wealth, we'll take care of everyone. Oh, by the way, their idea of taking care of everyone is by literally having you on a de facto house arrest. You're not going to need to work a job, but then you're going to have no incentive to get up in the morning. You're going to be even more miserable. You're going to hate yourself because you're not going to have any self-autonomy whatsoever. But the one saving grace is that you will have a diet of weeds and bugs. They're literally telling us we're going to start eating weeds. This is from the World Economic Forum website, weforum.org. Weeds, good food, control climate change. That's the URL, and there's a breakdown of this on moonbattery.com. It says, while farming animals for meat generates 14.5% of total global greenhouse emissions, weeds capture carbon from the atmosphere and can therefore help to control climate change. Now, I don't know about you, I've never eaten weeds. I can't imagine they're that tasty, but apparently this is what we're going to have to do for Mother Earth. The elite in their ivory towers will still be dining on fillet steak, but you'll be eating grasshoppers and plants, invasive species, many of them, but I'm sure they taste delicious. Dave Blount comments on this. He says, eating a normal human diet makes it to be too warm out, according to progressive doctrine, so we must find alternatives. And they go on to list the advantages of eating weeds, including that they taste great. Big doubt on that. Says another benefit is the low price of weeds. Many can be had for free. The next time a panhandler approaches your car at a stoplight, point to the tasty and nutritious weeds sprouting up through the cracks in the pavement that people have probably been peeing on, no doubt, and tell him, bon appetit. Most details of life after the Great Reset remain a mystery, but at least we have a good idea what will be on the menu for those of us who don't hobnob at Davos. Bugs and weeds. Now, there's all these hippies out there who claim, oh, no, actually, you're being a little bit bigoted and a little bit closed-minded. Bugs actually do taste... No, they don't. You see travel videos all across YouTube of people trying bugs at Malaysian or Vietnamese markets just for the, you know, the open-minded travel experience of sampling new cultures. Even the people living in those countries, they ask them, do you eat these bugs? No, they don't eat the bugs. They're disgusting. I know people eat some weird things in the world, and sometimes those weird things don't actually taste too bad. Bugs aren't in that category. You watch any travel YouTuber, there's one bug stand in the market, not very popular from what I've seen, even with the local population, many of whom can't afford to eat beef on a regular basis, not very popular. I mean, look at the sight of it. Just look. How can that not cause you to just naturally convulse? But that's what the World Economic Forum wants you to eat. And they've been introducing this idea for many, many years. In fact, there's an article here which I wrote last year. Texas Art Museum encourages children to eat bugs. An art museum in Texas encouraged children and families to eat insects, including crickets and mealworms, during its Eat a Bug Day this past weekend. We had another one, and I think I included this in a video. Bugs are also a fetish, a sexual fetish for weirdos. Vice showcases fetish of people who incorporate bugs into their sex lives. We had that wondrous presentation last year. So this is our collective future. Mealworms, crickets, weeds, while Klaus Schwab and his technocrat elitist friends continue to dine on fine fillet steak in their ivory towers. But they really care about us. And they're going to reset the economy, even though what they've already done in this 10 months since COVID has put tons of people out of business. They're losing their jobs. Small businesses going bust. Amazon record profits. Walmart record profits. Target record profits. But just give them more power. You can trust them. Meanwhile, the people protesting against that agenda continue to be arrested in massive numbers across the world. A couple of weeks ago, we had big protests in Denmark. That was successful in that they pressured the government into stripping out a bill which would have mandated vaccines for certain groups of people. That was a white pill. They were out on the streets protesting against that. Similar scenes in Germany where they got out the water cannons, massive opposition to lockdown in Germany. And we see it building in the UK. Of course, we had warnings from police chiefs saying that this could eventually lead to wider civil unrest. We had a protest, another protest in London on the weekend. BBC News headline, COVID, more than 150 arrests at London anti-lockdown protest. There's more than 150 people have been arrested during an anti-lockdown protest in London's West End. The group Save Our Rights UK said it held the protest on Marble Arch on Saturday afternoon. Metropolitan Police said it had been a challenging day for its officers. Yeah, somewhat different from how they responded to much larger Black Lives Matter protests in June, where the individuals who took part in that were literally violently attacking police officers, vandalizing statues, trying to drag down statues. And what was the response from the Metropolitan Police? They bowed down and they worshipped. This group, which I imagine was probably about 1,500 people, maybe a little more, 150 of them were arrested. They literally arrested about 10% of the people who showed up. How many arrests were there during the months and months of Black Lives Matter protests in London? Basically a handful on each occasion. But again, they want to make examples of people. They want to see, they want other people to see, this is what happens when you defy our COVID restrictions. And this is may be what happens if you defy taking the vaccine. Meanwhile, Elvis impersonator's solo house party crashed by cops. This is a video that came out on Friday. Basically, a guy was live streaming his Elvis impersonation on the internet. There's a video in this article. He had his back turned to the entrance of his living room, and about 10 seconds into the clip, four police officers burst in. He thinks they're intruders. He goes and tries to attack them because they've rushed into his home. That fools rushed in, pun intended, again, because he was making noise and they suspected he was having a house party in violation of COVID rules. So with no warrant whatsoever, they just burst into his house. Could have ended up in a more violent confrontation. Absolutely ridiculous. It was one guy on his own doing an Elvis impersonation on the internet. This is our world. This is life right now.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial or call 877-878-4203.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Discussion in the United Kingdom and also in the United States about this vaccine, which is set to come to market in a month or two. Obviously, the vulnerable individuals are going to be offered it first. Then everybody else is going to be offered it. And then maybe corporation service providers are going to step in and say, well, if you don't take it, you're not coming in. That's going to be a problem in the UK because 30%, 36% of people in a recent poll said they were extremely or very unlikely to take this vaccine. Are these restaurants, these bars, these sports venues, these cinemas really going to potentially sacrifice 36% of their customer base by mandating digital proof of a coronavirus vaccine before allowing people to enter their premises? Well, that's certainly what Vaccine Minister Nadeem Zahawi in the UK expects. And in fact, we've got a clip of this, which we're going to play here in a second. Headline, Vaccine Minister says bars, restaurants and cinemas will demand proof of vaccination before entry. This is UK Vaccine Minister Nadeem Zahawi, who says he expects all those venues to demand proof of vaccination against COVID-19 before allowing customers to enter their venues. This was an interview on BBC Radio's The World at One, and we have a clip of that. And we're going to play that right now. Here it is.
Okay, but it presumably it will be the case that if you have a vaccine, you will then have some form of immunity passport. And we know that Baroness Harding, who's running Test and Trace, is looking at this idea of even having it in the app, the proof of your vaccine status. That is presumably going to limit what some people do. If you want to go to a football game, for example, or if you want to get on a flight.
We are looking at the technology and, of course, a way of people being able to inform their GP that they've been vaccinated. But also, I think you'll probably find restaurants and bars and cinemas and other venues, sports venues, will probably also use that system, as they've done with the app. The reason I think partly the app's been so successful, I think we're touching just under 19 million downloads of the app, is because a lot of places that you would go to, they've got the QR code from the NHS that you scan for your own safety. And so I think in many ways, the sort of the pressure will come from both ways, from service providers who will say, look, you know, demonstrate to us that you've been vaccinated, but also we will make the technology as easy and as accessible as possible.
Okay, so it'll become virtually impossible to do anything if you don't have the vaccine.
I think people have to make a decision, but I think you'll probably find many service providers will want to engage in this in the way they did with the app.
So what is that other than people basically being under permanent lockdown? One of the main drawbacks of lockdown, of course, is that the bars, the restaurants, the cinemas, the sports venues, the entertainment arenas, the music concerts are all closed, cutting off social life for millions and millions of people. Now, if you don't take the vaccine and they don't allow you in because you haven't got digital proof of having had the injection, what is that other than a form of permanent lockdown for everyone? 36% of Brits say they're not going to take it. Are those industries really going to sacrifice another 36% of their customer base, given that their profits are already in the toilet, to mandate this vaccine? That's going to be an interesting question going forward. But when you've got the UK vaccine minister saying that, this goes straight to the point. They don't have to make it compulsory by law. They just get service providers, corporations, businesses, companies to enforce it. Of course, you had the head honcho over the NHS Test and Trace program, which they introduced a few months ago here in the UK, basically, whenever you go into a bar or restaurant, when they're allowed to be open, you have to sign a form. If you don't have the app, you have to give your name and address. Then you're in the system. Then if anybody in the immediate vicinity reports having caught coronavirus, you get contacted by the NHS, and then you're expected to self-isolate for 2 weeks. If you don't do so, you get a fine. If you continue to refuse, you get a bigger and bigger fine. The head of that program admitted that that was the foundational basis for the future recording of whether people have had the vaccine or not. She said the NHS app, this is Baroness Harding, she said the NHS app will be used to, quote, record as a citizen your test results and whether you've been vaccinated. So you have the head of the test and trace program saying that. You have the UK vaccine minister saying that, this newly created position. But then you have this out of Michael Gove, another cabinet minister headline. Gove claims government not considering vaccine passports to enter venues. Cabinet Office Minister Michael Gove contradicted his own government's vaccine minister by asserting there was no plan to issue vaccination passports that would be required before people were allowed to enter bars, restaurants and other venues. By the way, if you go to a bar on a Saturday night in London, there's no way they're enforcing this program. It's complete bedlam. So on a practical level, it's not even going to work in the first place. But Gove is coming out and contradicting other people within his own government and saying that this won't be mandated by government. But then again, will that matter? Because the companies can just go ahead and mandate it anyway. We had the CEO of Qantas Airlines out of Australia come out last week and say, basically, no vaccination, no flight. Now, on the flip side, we had Ryanair, which is a European airline in the European Union, which operates between countries in Europe, saying they're not going to mandate mandatory vaccines to fly because of people. Of course, Europe has open borders. Basically, you can just drive between all the different countries, so there's really no point whatsoever. So mixed messages across the board, whether this is going to be mandatory in terms of how it's enforced by companies or not. But as regards to the propaganda behind the vaccine itself, we have this headline, UK deploys military infowar unit against COVID vaccine skeptics. The British government has mobilized an elite information warfare unit to combat anti-vaccine militants and interrupt their propaganda content, which, of course, is going to percolate down and be represented with anyone on social media being censored, being banned for questioning not just the safety of this vaccine. And again, that's the point. I don't care if it's safe. If you set the precedent where governments or corporations can demand you had somebody stick a needle in your arm before you're allowed any freedom of mobility, that has to be the red line. If you let them get away with that, what are they going to get away with next? It's not even about the efficacy, the safety of the vaccine. It's about the complete imposition on our freedom of mobility. It's about basically being under de facto lockdown forever if you're one of the refuseniks who doesn't take it. The report says the unit is usually used to assist with operations against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. So they're literally using propaganda units normally used to fight terrorists to fight people who question either the safety or the sanity of handing governments the power to mandate vaccines. It will be turned on those who dare question the sanctity of COVID vaccination. The report notes the outfit known as the Defense Cultural Specialist Unit was formed in Afghanistan in 2010 and is part of the Army's 77th Brigade. So they're literally using military psychological operations units out of the army, not to fight terrorists, and we're going to have a bigger problem with terrorists, by the way, as I'm going to get into after the break, probably because of Biden's foreign policy, not to fight terrorists, but to fight people who question the COVID vaccine. Summit.news.
PrepareWithAlex.com is a special website with my Patriot because they have agreements with other distributors that they all sell the same low price, high quality, storable food. But occasionally they can do promotions on their own platform, and that's what we've set up with them is if preparewithalex.com is a subdomain of My Patriot, you get an additional 10% off. We have their whole great catalog at InfoWarsStore.com where you can normally get it at very good prices, and those prices are still there. But an additional 10% off right now at preparewithalex.com on their 1 month, their 3 month, their 6 month, their year, and on a bunch of other great items. Huge discounts that will be ending next Wednesday. That is December 2nd. So you've got this week and a little bit of next week. Get your orders in. They're ready to ship to you right now. And the profit that comes in funds the InfoWar, so it's a 360 win. If you need storable food to fight the Great Reset, get prepared now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Extend your life with Extendovite. After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
To a YouTube video that I put up on Friday regarding the absolute horror that awaits America if Joe Biden is allowed into the Oval Office. If you thought the foreign policy of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton was bad in terms of invading Libya, in terms of invading jihadists in Syria, was a negative impact on the world in regard to the rise of ISIS, terrorism, and the future of America in terms of this interventionist foreign policy hellscape, then it's only going to get worse. Then we're going to come back and talk about the latest with regard to election fraud. Now that Attorney General Barr has come out and said, basically, there's no evidence of election fraud. We're going to come back and talk about that. But for the rest of this segment, here is the video. It's called Meet the New Boss. Let's roll it.
enjoyed the last 4 years of relative peace in the Middle East, felt safer after ISIS was bombed into near oblivion, thankful that your tax dollars aren't funding arms for jihadists, well, get ready to dispense with all that, because the neoliberal war machine is back. Remember that weird couple of days back in 2017 when Trump ordered the bombing of the Syrian airfield? It was the one single time over the past 4 years that the mainstream media praised something he did. MSNBC's Brian Williams called the missiles beautiful 3 times in the space of 30 seconds.
We see these beautiful pictures at night from the decks of these two U.S. Navy vessels in the Eastern Mediterranean. I'm guided by the beauty of our weapons. And they are beautiful pictures.
Well, Williams and his ilk are going to be creaming their pants over the next 4 years if Biden gets into office, because the same people who masterminded the disastrous invasion of Libya and the catastrophic policy of attempted regime change in Syria are back like a bitch in heat. Joe Biden, America is back. Syrian children right now. Biden has tapped this guy, Antony Blinken, as Secretary of State to head up foreign policy. And he was immediately lavished with praise by the mainstream media. The Guardian gushed, calling him a born internationalist who will utilize his urbane bilingual charm to soothe the frayed nerves of Western allies. They marveled at his previous appearance on Sesame Street, where he regaled Rover about the wondrous benefits and desperate hardships of refugees.
I'm talking about refugees. These are people who've had to leave their homes because life in their countries was not safe for them.
And why was that, Mr. Blinken? Do you think it had anything to do with the Obama administration, which you were a part of, toppling secular leaders like Gaddafi? Do you think it had anything to do with the Obama administration, which you were a part of, arming jihadist groups in Syria in an attempt to topple Assad? The administration's policies that you helped craft created the power vacuum that was filled by ISIS, which in turn caused the international migrant crisis. You vehemently supported the calamitous foreign policy that created all these refugees in the first place. Remember Gaddafi's warning that the Mediterranean would become a sea of chaos? Well, that's precisely what happened because of people in the Obama State Department like Tony Blinken.
Oh, but Mr. Blinken really cares about the refugees.
His administration made them refugees by over their countries.
Well, Grover, sadly, refugees have to leave everything behind. Communities, schools, friends, even all of their favorite things.
Don't know about that. Some of them appear to be doing just fine.
My God told me to promise you a sweet sleep. Better let me go the day you need me.
Even the UN admitted that 70% of them weren't even refugees. They were economic migrants.
Even though they come from many different places, they're just like you and me.
Yeah. That's not strictly true, is it? You see, Tony here has failed to mention one crucial detail. The Obama administration's proxy support for jihadist thugs in Libya and Syria, which led directly to the rise of ISIS, which led directly to the migrant crisis, also led to ISIS exploiting the refugee wave to smuggle terrorists into Europe who went on to commit mass casualty atrocities. Oh, don't take my word for it. ISIS bragged about how they did this in their own propaganda magazine. The Manchester Arena bomber was a refugee rescued by the Royal Navy from Libya in 2014. The Paris massacre terrorists hid themselves amongst the refugee wave to enter Europe. One of them was even carrying a fake Syrian passport. Several of the Brussels terrorists who helped plan the Paris massacre also re-entered Europe on the refugee wave, having fought for ISIS in Syria. The Berlin truck terrorist Anis Amri arrived in Europe on a refugee boat. The terrorist who stabbed 3 people in Reading was a Libyan refugee. The terrorist who beheaded the French schoolteacher was a refugee. The terrorist who beheaded a woman and killed 2 others near a church in Nice was a refugee. A Heritage Foundation study found that more than 1,000 people had been murdered or injured on European soil between 2014 and 2018 by asylum seekers or refugees. Starting to notice a pattern here.
They're just like you and me.
And no, obviously I'm not saying that all refugees are terrorists. Many of them are trying to escape terrorism in their own countries. I'm saying interventionist foreign policy creates a vacuum which is filled by violent Islamists. That drives people out of their countries on a refugee wave. The refugee wave is then exploited by terrorists who go on to commit attacks in the West. That was the Obama administration's policy for 8 years. And under Biden and Blinken, it's on its way back.
That's right.
Biden wants to boost America's refugee quota from 15,000 to 125,000 a year. While ISIS was smuggling terror cells into Europe, Obama was dropping leaflets on ISIS in Syria, while jihadists were radicalized across the continent to commit mass atrocities in Paris, Nice, Brussels, and Berlin. Obama was afraid to even utter the words Islamic terrorism. Whereas Islamic terrorism in the West noticeably declined after Trump began eliminating ISIS rather than arming them, under Biden and Blinken, it's set for a revival. Radical Islamists across the world must be licking their lips with glee. Blinken is a dyed-in-the-wool globalist. The Council on Foreign Relations member who once described Brexit as a total mess. And he's never come across a foreign intervention he didn't like. Not only did he enthusiastically support US-NATO regime change in Libya, according to the Washington Post, Blinken was, quote, one of the government's key players in drafting Syria policy. He repeatedly justified arming Syrian rebels on national news networks. You want more? Blinken supported Israel's bombing of Gaza in 2014. Blinken supported Saudi Arabia's bombing of Yemen in 2015. He was Obama's point man for providing weaponry to the Saudis. The UN went on to declare Yemen the world's worst humanitarian disaster. 100,000 people dead.
That's right.
Thanks, Tony. And then, of course, the biggie. The notoriously successful 2003 US invasion of Iraq, which toppled another secular leader while bolstering Al-Qaeda and LIFG terrorist groups in the region, as well as killing hundreds of thousands of people in the process, including 5,000 US troops, maiming another 30,000, and leaving 500,000 with life-debilitating PTSD. Yeah, guess who vehemently supported that?
That's right.
In fact, Blinken's role in overseeing the pivotal two-day Senate hearing in the summer of 2002 directly greased the skids for the invasion of Iraq. This guy's bloodlust for war puts Genghis Khan to shame. And unless Trump turns it round, in just 2 months' time, he's in charge of US foreign policy. Listen, when someone's geopolitical agenda gets Hillary Clinton's seal of approval, watch out.
We came, we saw, we died.
You'll also be shocked to learn that Blinken despises whistleblowers like Edward Snowden and Julian Assange, and wants them both extradited. Oh yeah, and you remember those two other glorious components of pre-Trump American foreign policy? Drone strikes and torture? Well, under Biden, that's making a comeback too. Avril Haines, Biden's pick for Director of National Intelligence, provided legal cover for and worked closely with Obama and Brennan on Obama's tenfold expansion of drone strikes. An expansion that she enthusiastically drove home despite the fact that 90% of the victims of drone strikes were innocent civilians. Oh, but according to this simp and countless others on Twitter, she's the nicest human alive! Just a hunch, but if your entire family's just been wiped out by an MQ-1 predator during a wedding ceremony, those probably aren't the words I choose. Haines is also a member of the Center for a New American Security, a think tank that has received millions of dollars in funding from weapons contractors. CIA Director Gina Haspel will report directly to Haines, who has repeatedly sung the praises of Haspel, a key architect of President George W. Bush's torture program.
Well, I'm sure she's a nice person too.
The frontrunner to be Joe Biden's pick for Secretary of Defense is Michelle Flournoy. Flournoy is such a nice person that she...
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of real water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your real water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is...
Well, Team Trump continues to get absolutely no support from the federal government in regards to its attempt to legally, professionally, properly, accurately count the votes in the U.S. presidential election. This headline came out just about an hour ago out of Zero Hedge. White House slams AG Barr's claims of no election fraud.
Okay.
There's been no semblance of a DOJ investigation. This was Attorney General William Barr who said today, the Justice Department has not uncovered evidence of widespread voter fraud that would change the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. That was immediately challenged by Trump's legal team, by a Rudy Giuliani, who said, with all due respect to the Attorney General, there hasn't been any semblance of a Department of Justice investigation. We've gathered ample evidence of illegal voting in at least six states, which they have not examined. We have many witnesses swearing under oath they saw crimes being committed in connection with voter fraud. As far as we know, not a single one has been interviewed by the DOJ. The Justice Department also hasn't audited any voting machines or used their subpoena powers to determine the truth. So again, yet another body within the federal government coming out and saying there's no evidence of voter fraud, despite the fact they haven't even properly analyzed the actual evidence of voter fraud being presented, which is being and will continue to be presented in the courts. So we have that going on. We also have this video which came back to prominence over the weekend, and we're going to play it here in a second, out of all places, CNN. And this caused a lot of consternation amongst the left. Headline, CNN, there are, quote, legal and constitutional ways for Trump to stay in office.
This was a video released before the election. And in this video, CNN's Fareed Zakaria explains the legal and constitutional case by which President Trump could stay in office even if he loses the election. They didn't like seeing this one pop up again, and you'll find out why as we play it right now. Here it is.
That are legal and constitutional that could enable Trump to stay in office without actually winning the vote. The system of electing the president is complicated because it was not designed to be directly democratic. The Constitution calls for states to choose the presidential electors, who in turn gather to vote for the president. Over time, states have passed laws that ensured their state's popular vote for the presidency would determine the electors. But those are laws, not a constitutional obligation. Now, imagine the scenario during election week. Trump is leading on November 3rd, but Joe Biden pulls ahead in the days following. Republicans file objections to tens of thousands of mail-in ballots. Democrats file countersuits. Taking account of the confusion, legislators decide to choose the electors themselves. Here's the worry. Of the 9 swing states, 8 have Republican legislatures. If one or more decide that balloting is chaotic and marred by irregularities, they could send what they regard as the legitimate slate of electors, which would be Republican. Democrats may object and file lawsuits. In some of those states, Democratic governors or secretaries of state could send their own slates of electors to Washington. That would add to the confusion, but that might well be part of the Republican plan. Because you see, when Congress convenes on January 6th to tally the electors' votes, there would be challenges to the legitimacy of some electors. It's possible congressional Republicans could decide that disputed states should simply not be counted. Suppose in this scenario, Michigan's votes are invalidated. That would ensure that neither candidate would get to 270 electoral votes. At that point, the Constitution clearly directs that the House of Representatives vote to determine the presidential election. But it does so with each state casting a single ballot. If the current numbers hold, there would be 26 state delegations that are Republican and 23 Democratic with one tied. So the outcome would be to re-elect Donald Trump. Trump doesn't need to do anything other than to simply accept this outcome, which is constitutional.
So that caused a lot of consternation amongst leftists over the weekend, desperately pointing out, oh, well, this video was released before the election. But it still stands, doesn't it? And you heard the explanation right there as to how Trump or Republicans, if they actually grew a spine, could actually challenge this election legally and constitutionally, which now seems like an even more urgent thing, given that AG Barr, of course, Bush appointee, basically has now said that he's not going to stand behind the Trump administration. No real surprise there. Meanwhile, we have this story, which went viral actually last week. Again, going to the point, they say jump, you say how high, and it's not do as they do, it's do as they say in terms of coronavirus lockdowns.
In the next day,
headline, Doctor Who demanded mandatory mask law, pictured partying maskless on boat, surrounded by bikini-clad women. The world's so-called hottest doctor, who's repeatedly called for mandatory mask laws and social distancing. This is a guy who they trotted out on CNN every other week to demand that you wear a mask, to demand that you don't see your friends and relatives, to demand that you follow all these arbitrary laws. This was one of their main guys. Lo and behold, he's out in Miami on his 31st birthday, surrounded by bikini women, performing no social distancing whatsoever. Mikhail Vyshovsky, known as Dr. Mike Online, completely contradicted his own advice by throwing a super spreader 31st birthday party for himself. He was surrounded by 14 other people, most of them women wearing bikinis. Another video shows the doctor massaging a woman's neck on the deck of the boat while wearing a face cloth isn't even covering his nose. But he's going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell you you can't hug your gran at Thanksgiving.
Oh, I just write their names down.
This is a guy who tweeted, quote, "If by not wearing a mask you put others' lives at risk, it might make sense to make it mandatory, wouldn't you agree? Unless you're on a luxury boat having a birthday bash surrounded by scantily clad women. Apparently, if you're Dr. Mike, then that makes it okay." He also told Fox Business, "Wearing a mask decreases the spread of the virus, and that is of utmost importance for people's health. So if you're going outside in public and are going to be around other people, wear a mask."
Thank you, Nancy.
Apart from if you're Dr. Mike on his luxury boat surrounded by his girls in bikinis, then that apparently doesn't apply. Again, this has cropped up time and time again. We had Pelosi not wearing a mask when she was in the hairdressers. We had other congresswomen inside Congress not wearing masks. We've got Sam Liccardo today, the mayor of San Jose, having to issue a public apology.
Did any of the lawyers...
He just tweeted this about an hour ago. "I apologize for my decision to gather for Thanksgiving with my family, contrary to the rules." And again, it's not just that these people break the rules and they're in positions of power. It's that they endlessly lecture you about the rules and break them themselves. You had the ABC News correspondent constantly lecturing other reporters about not wearing masks. Pictures come out of him on Cinco de Mayo walking around New York. Everyone else is wearing a mask. He's not wearing one. The rules don't apply to them. Now, Sam Liccardo, the mayor of San Jose, has issued a groveling apology saying, "I understand my obligation as a public official to provide exemplary compliance with public health orders and not to ignore them." And yet he did anyway, because, again, he's not subject to the rules that he himself creates. Neither is apparently L.A. supervisor Sheila Kuehl. This is the Breitbart headline. "Dines at outdoor restaurant after voting to ban outdoor dining." Los Angeles County Supervisor Sheila Kuehl reportedly dined at an outdoor restaurant in Santa Monica hours after casting a decisive vote to ban outdoor dining in the county. Of course, Governor Newsom did exactly the same, passed a law banning dining inside. Of course, the next day he's pictured in a fancy French restaurant surrounded by other people from a medical board association, by the way, dining indoors. They don't subject themselves to the rules. The rules are only for you, plebs. And you'll get lectured and called a terrible person and told that you're killing granny if you behave in the exact same way that they do time and time again. Bill Malugin of local Fox affiliate KTTV 11 reported Monday, during Tuesday's L.A. County Board of Supervisors meeting, Kuehl referred to outside dining as a, quote, "most dangerous situation" over what she described as a risk of tables of unmasked patrons potentially exposing their servers to coronavirus. She said, "This is a serious health emergency and we must take it seriously." But then she proceeded to do precisely that, violate her own rules and not take it seriously. Again, they don't follow their own directives. Only you, the plebs, are forced to do that. Almost as if they know that the virus isn't as serious as they make it out to be. Meanwhile, CBC journalist brags about ratting out worshippers at church. This was a journalist who, now that journalists are activists and not actual journalists, they just rat people out, get people deplatformed, publicly shame people. She basically sat outside a church in British Columbia, Canada, ratted out everyone leaving the church, including children playing in the parking lot. She is another journalistic hero. That's going to wrap it up. Summit.News coming up next. War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.